Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We've established an audio medium where people are scared to talk.
Let's all give Nick Saban three fingers.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too.
Sergey Bobovka.
Ground beef.
Mark Hockman.
That's my top category on new porn. McRib dunking.
So was Argentina close to Germany?
Meow.
Channing Crowder.
I set my house on fire at 8 years old. That's why I got the butt foot.
I know how to barbecue. I like my coals hot.
You set yourself up as an idiot, you can be an idiot.
Alejandro Solana.
Hawk, when you mispronounce something, that is better than sex for me.
Sports.
If I say a duck and pull a truck, hug him up.
To what?
To the truck.
Shout out to String Cheese.
I love it when you call me Big Papa. Throw your hands up in the air if you's a true player.
More sports.
Man, you 40 years old, Jimmy. Put your meat on the table.
Let him know
where mama at.
Boston, we're coming for that ass. The most sports.
Who's bigger, Taylor Swift or Pusha T?
The Hawkman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
They know trucks, and yeah, they got it. That's funny. For like, there's like 12 people yesterday. That's a funny start to the show. I made 12 people chortle on a day that they didn't think they'd be laughing. Crowder wasn't one of them, though, because he just signed in.
Hey,
they know trucks, and yeah, they got it. You see? It's funny.
You tapped out. You tapped out at the show yesterday.
Oh, I did. I lost it in the very final couple seconds. I tapped out. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I can be your teammate.
Well, there's a lot to unpack about last night's Heat loss. Now, for me, the number one thing, Giggles, is Jimmy Butler gutted it out for three quarters. That dude had no business being on the basketball court. He wanted to win, and they needed him out there, and he gutted it out and probably did so at the expense of his own health. We'll find out. I don't know if we'll find out later today. So what? How does this work, Crowder? He has a 330 MRI. That's the word. Now, all the NBA experts, I'm just watching it on ESPN right now. They're talking about Jimmy Butler to miss weeks. But then Jimmy Butler's agent said today, everyone's speculating, the MRI is not till 330.
So how does that work? Will they know immediately? Like once they do the MRI, they'll know immediately if there's damage?
Yeah. So if it's 3:30, it'd be over 4 at the latest, and they can read it immediately. So as it's going, they will know the MRI. They'll know what's going on. They'll see the swelling. They'll see all that. So by 4 o'clock, the Heat will know what's wrong with Jimmy's knee.
Did you see him trying to walk out of the Philly arena last night? Did you see the video?
I saw the video.
Very slow.
And he was explosive on that knee, and then he grabbed it when he ran back down the court.
It was
so yeah, he gutted it out, but I'm interested to see if it's structural damage.
I think it was Ira that tweeted last night, like, watch the final play. Like, Jimmy's in a corner, not part of it. It's all you need to know about how much pain and how he was gutting it out last night. Like, I mean, he couldn't do anything.
Oh, no, and that's what I'm saying. He even after one of the clip you see on SportsCenter when he, I think he drove and made a layup, but then he ran back down and started rubbing his knee. And everybody's like, "Oh, he's fine. Stop being a baby and all that." Listen, those knee injuries, you can gut them out with the adrenaline going and all that. His knee swelled up it swelled up last night. Crazy, because of the fact that
my guess was it was like a cantaloupe this morning when he woke up.
Yeah. That's exactly what happened. So that whole, you know, I'm the tough guy. Yeah, stop grabbing your knee. But no, he was gutting it out, and it shows you a lot when your best player on the final play is standing in the corner. And
had nothing. He couldn't give you anything.
Spo's like, don't give this man the ball. Let's figure out what's going on with the other guys. I would have, you know, I like Tyler to play a little better. But yeah, no, I would say there's no chance that Jimmy plays in the next game.
But with all that being said, the thing I will remember for the rest of time about last night is Nicholas Batum. It's the thing I will remember for the rest of time. I have not seen a performance like that where someone takes over a basketball game at all ends since Teen Wolf. You remember Michael J. Fox surprised everyone by becoming Teen Wolf on the court. 1985. I haven't seen this since 1985. And Teen Wolf, on the offensive end and the defensive end, was just unstoppable. And Nicholas Batum last night reminded me of Teen Wolf 1985 for the Beavers.
Michael J. Batum.
Yeah. It was insane.
It was
almost comical. When he had the block of Tyler's three,
yes.
I laughed. Did anyone else giggle? When he got a piece of Tyler's three.
Tyler needed, I said it.
How old
Tyler
is Nicholas
had
Batum?
To be the guy. 49.
He's 49 years old.
Tyler needed to be the guy early in the game, and Tyler really needed to be the guy when Jimmy got hurt, and Tyler came up short.
At the end, Tyler was doing everything. I think they would have lost by 12 if Tyler wasn't doing what he was doing, but he didn't have
he
a game that he needed
up,
to have.
He still,
you know,
came
who came up short?
Short?
Caleb Martin, the guy who I said in the beginning round of the playoffs was going to ball out. Go ahead, Solana.
Game,
you want to weigh in on Nicholas Batum and Jimmy Butler? I see you chomping at the bit. You've probably talked about this for a couple hours right after the game last night. Give us your abridged version.
Well, first of all, Nicholas Batum. Damn. Because, hey, Maxey goes off last night, fine. Joel Embiid goes off last night, fine. Even Kyle Lowry, like, fine. Revenge game. Nicholas Batum. I looked up the numbers last night during the postgame show. Nicholas Batum was averaging 5.5 points per game this season, and post All-Star break, under 5 points per game this season. He scored in double figures this year 7 times. All season long. And when Caleb Martin missed those 2 free throws and the entire arena exploded because they got free chicken nuggets, Nicholas Batum, it seemed, took that and ran with it, and the entire course of the game changed right
there.
Got
energized.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have anything working for them.
They were booing.
Sixers had nothing working for them until Batum started knocking down threes like they were giving out chicken tenders at the Philly Spectrum, whatever they call that stadium now.
The Sixers fans, Wells Fargo Arena, were booing. The Sixers like four separate times during the first half, and then a couple minutes into the third quarter, you heard the Boo Birds booing their own team down 12. Like, I mean, what are you doing booing your team down 12 in the NBA? That's nothing.
They were so bad, they deserved to be booed. Like, they were so bad. Yes. I totally understand them getting booed.
You can't force 9 steals in a game and not take advantage of each and every one of them. The Heat at halftime had 17 points off turnovers. They should have had 29 points off turnovers. And it goes back to a big issue all season long. You had a 14-point lead. That lead should have been 18, 19, 20 points. But Miami didn't take advantage of those opportunities. They end up losing the lead. And then late-game execution. They were bad all season long in the clutch. Unlike last year, this year the Heat were bottom of the league, bottom 5 in fourth quarter efficiency. And you lost the game. And yeah, Jimmy's injury didn't help you, because Hawk, it wasn't just one play that Ira pointed out. Go watch that fourth quarter when he's in there. I mean, he's gutting it out, bro, but he's standing in the corner.
I think that's the Crowder's point. So in the second quarter, he's on adrenaline and he's like, I tweaked it, but I can tough this out. And then probably my guess is halftime, no one talked to me. Don't talk about it. Maybe he's on the exercise bike. Certainly the, you know, medical team is rubbing it down, icing it, whatever. Gets out there in the third quarter and he's realizing, that thought that I had after the injury, that I can gut this out. And then by the fourth quarter, he's just taking up space out there because he can't do anything.
Yeah, the damn lactic acid done clicked in. Like, you could see it. He was not. And the style that Jimmy plays is physical. You don't want to be physical when you have a bad limb. I felt bad for him. I honestly was supposed to be the guy to come on today to be like, hey, man, stop grabbing your damn knee and play ball. I was watching Jimmy with some sympathy. Like,
he tried, man. I felt terrible for him. And by the way, if you put it in context, Solana, you're not going into Philly and beating Sixers at full strength when you don't have Jimmy Butler. Sorry, not in a one-game series. No, ain't happening.
I disagree. The Heat had that game, Hawk. They had a 3-point lead with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And you know why they lost? It wasn't because the Sixers executed better than Miami on the offensive end. It's because the Heat turned the ball over. Jaime had a brutal stretch. And look, Jaime was excellent last night. Like, he didn't look like a rookie, but he fouled Joel Embiid on the rip-through, and you can't do that at that situation when Embiid hasn't been hitting jumpers all night. You can't have your hand over the guy's arms. And then on the very next possession, he turns the ball over. Sixers come down, Embiid hits a 3. Your 3-point lead, all of a sudden you're down 1 with 2 minutes left in the game. And then to not be able to get that inbounds pass in with the game tied and Tyler steps back court. I know people want to say Batum pushed Tyler. He did. But you can't expect that call in that situation. Tyler Hero and Jaime Jaquez Jr. can't turn the ball over there. You can't have, with 30 seconds left in the game, tie game, the ball in your hands, and you turn it over on a backcourt violation. That can't happen.
Which was a foul on Batum, by the way.
It was, but so what? Like, that, you're not getting that call.
There was a phantom call on Batum later on in the fourth quarter where there was, an off, before the play whistle, and Batum had, like, it all evens out. So I know a lot of people were insane with anger over that backcourt violation because Batum helped Tyler over the court. But whatever, I don't attribute it to
Hawk, you can't turn – I don't like the idea of season potentially on the line, 30 seconds left in the game or 42 seconds left in the game, and you're inbounding the ball to Jaime Jaquez Jr. right at the half-court line, who now has to find a way to get it to Tyler Hero. Hey, Tyler, come get the ball. Tyler, you go get the ball in the inbounds. I don't like that situation there for the Heat, and it came back to bite them because very next possession down, guess what? They go up 3 with an and one, which also was kind of a phantom call for Kelly Oubre. I don't know where the foul was on Jimmy Butler. And then to come out of a timeout, I mean, there's still plenty of time to go 2-for-1, get the easy bucket, get the stop, and you draw up a pick and roll for Tyler, but the shot wasn't there. Like, if the best option on that play ends up being a wide open 3, no problem with it. But to force a 3-pointer over – Nicholas Batum, sure, he's 35 years old, but dude's got long arms and he's been torching you all game.
He's having the Teen Wolf game.
Find a good shot in that situation. The Heat, again, they didn't execute, man.
Use Bam offensively. Was he that tired from guarding? They did not use Bam offensively at all. They didn't run. Yeah. I've watched Bam take the ball at the top of the key all season long. I've watched Bam facilitate the offense. They never went back to Bam. They never used Bam offensively. That's what had me hot. I'm like, okay, Jimmy's hurt. Now Bam, it's going to run through Bam. It did not run through Bam. That's what had me hot.
But Crowder, what the Sixers do, as well as anybody in the NBA, they adjusted very well in the second half. I mean, they're just playing drop coverage. Oh, Bam, you're going to go set a screen? Okay, Embiid's not even coming over the top of it. They're going over the screen with whoever's covering Tyler or whoever the ball handler is, and they're letting Bam Adebayo catch anywhere around the perimeter. They're not They're not letting him. He did. He missed two threes early on in the game. And they're not letting Jimmy or Bam get into the paint, which is why, by the way, Tyler Hero took 27 shots because those shots that he took were efficient, quality, mid-range, or three-point looks. He just bricked most of them. It was an off night for Tyler, and that to me is very frustrating because after the way he missed last season with that freak injury, like last night could have been his redemption moment. Hey, look, you guys needed me.
His Max Strus game.
And he went 9 of 27.
Nine. He's better than Klay Thompson.
We got to get ready now for Friday night. And I'm assuming Jimmy won't be playing on Friday night. And I don't think the Bulls are a spectacular team. It would not surprise me if, even without Jimmy, the Heat beat the Bulls on Friday night. That would not surprise me at all. My guess is, though, facing the Celtics without Jimmy Butler is probably a tough task. That one.
That's a tough task is what
you're calling. That one seems like it would be difficult. But the game tomorrow is 7 p.m. at the Kaseya Center. Why don't we blitz through headlines here? Because Clay Ferreiro is going to join us. I want to have enough time to talk basketball with him. He was obviously engaged in the game last night. And Josh Appel is going to join us later on in the program today. I do want to talk about the Panthers because they get things started this weekend against the Lightning. So let's get headlines here from a sad and sullen Alejandro Solano.
Nicholas Batum, are you effing kidding me, man? That is
wild.
Rough.
That was wild.
That is rough, man. These headlines are driven by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Supercenter. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford. We know trucks. If you're one of these people, because I got it today at the gym, you know, everybody couldn't wait to ask me about the game. I get to the gym. Oh, Jimmy tore his MCL. Jimmy's going to be out 3 to 4 weeks. He tore his MCL. Listen, we don't know yet. All right. Even Jimmy's agent was on SiriusXM NBA radio today, and he had some pretty frank words where Bernie Lee is his agent. He says, we're going to see the doctor later today. And it just blows my mind that somebody that wasn't in the arena has come up with a medical timeline of something that literally for us, the person that got hurt and me, the person that has conversations with everyone that gets filtered through, we don't know. So he has a MRI, as Hawk mentioned, coming up in the next hour or so.
I mean, people have eyes, though. They saw what happened. They saw what Jimmy was like at the end of the game. They saw him trying to limp out of there.
For sure. But to me, it's dangerous to just start pushing out ESPN, Bleacher Report, CBS. I'm getting notifications. Jimmy Butler out at several weeks.
Well, Woj said, in my opinion, was the fear is there's MCL damage and he'd be out for 3 or 4 weeks.
Damage.
I mean, the guy was walking out of that arena. He looked like Joe Biden.
There's no extreme. I'm not messing with you. There is no extreme structural damage because he finished the game.
That's not true, now, Crowder. That's not true. You could play with a torn MCL.
You can play NBA style of basketball with a torn MCL.
Crowder, if there's one ligament in your knee that you can play without,
Solana,
and it could not be a full
tear. Dr. James Andrews?
I tore my MCL, Jack.
You don't play at a high level. You've done nothing at a high level your whole life.
That's fair.
Bro.
Crowder, if there's one ligament.
There could really be damage done. but there's no way you finish the game. You play another three quarters of basketball if your MCL is totally torn. It's no chance.
Yeah, which is why I'm saying there could be a partial tear in the MCL, and he gutted it out. But if there is one ligament that you could play through after tearing, it is the MCL. Like ACL, you'll have no stability. Your knee's going to buckle in and out every opportunity. And if you tear your meniscus, like, you can't put any pressure on your leg. There's no gutting it out when you tear your meniscus. The MCL, like, a lot of athletes tear their MCL, do rehab, avoid surgery, finish off seasons, and then come back from the MCL sprain. So, I mean, we don't know.
Where's your reference point of this?
Well, look it up. Like, that's common knowledge.
I don't want to look it up.
Look it up.
I know it because I've torn my ACL four times. I know about ACL, MCL, LCLs. You're not tearing a ligament and finishing a game, Solana. You're not doing it.
Weak-ass knees over there.
I feel like you could.
No, you can.
I didn't know it was a ligament till just now, but I feel like Solana was pretty confident that you could.
The L in MCL means ligament. The L in ACL is ligament.
We'll see about that.
The medial collateral ligament, by the way, Hawk.
Yeah.
Anyway,
anterior cruciate
with
cruciate
torn MCL.
Yeah, I mean, he could have a slight tear as well, which obviously is better than a full tear, but probably still end up getting surgery for that. But yeah, I mean, chances he plays tomorrow. I mean, it would be wild if he's out there, bro.
He's not playing tomorrow. His knee, like Hawk said, his knee is a cantaloupe right now.
Especially Crowder, especially after a flight. Like, I always find that interesting because you're not supposed to fly after major trauma to any part of your body because it'll swell up even more when you're 40,000 feet up in the air. This dude literally needed to be carried out of the arena last night. Couldn't put any weight on it. Jumped right onto a plane and landed today.
These professional athletes' planes, they fly at like 4,000 feet. They get them in, they get them out. They don't live like the rest of us.
Like a drone.
Yeah, they just kind of zoom through. You don't ever see them zooming by.
I used to wear knee sleeves on the flights underneath my Jabot jeans. Y'all know what Jabot jeans are?
I know what Jabot jeans are, and they're very baggy. Of course you needed a sleeve. I mean, you certainly weren't going to. There was no compression with a Jabot jean.
Jabot. That was a Jabot.
Jabot.
You like the R, though. You like the Jabot. Heavy R. Jabot
That's
jeans.
That's what they are, Jabot jeans.
But it's Jabot jeans, huh? Jabot.
I mean, you may have bought a pair of Jabots at the 45th Street Flea Market.
Jabot jeans.
They're Jabot jeans.
You love them Mars.
Tomorrow, Heat versus Bulls will be at 7 p.m. Hopefully, Terry Rozier can return for Miami. The Panthers officially play Game 1 versus Tampa Bay on Sunday after I spent 4 hours yesterday telling you the game would be Saturday. So Sunday,
George Richards gave us faulty info.
Sunday, 1 p.m. at 12:30 p.m. at Amerant Bank Arena. The fun begins.
Just gave two different times there, May, June 5th.
Sunday, 12:30 p.m. Did I say 1 p.m.?
Sunday, 1 p.m. at 12:30 p.m. at the Amerant Bank Arena.
Sunday, 12:30 p.m. at 4 at 6:30 on Sunday.
I believe, because the NHL keeps saying 12:30 and everyone else keeps saying 1. So my guess is the broadcast starts at 12:30 and the game will start at 1.
Cool.
My guess.
Marlins do play the Cubs tonight. Open up a 4-game set. AJ Puck gets the nod for the Fish. Oh, boy.
AJ Puck was slinging that thing last time he started.
And the Miami Hurricanes announced today that both Cavender twins are coming back. So yesterday we found out Hannah Cavender was returning to the U. Haley Cavender saw that Haley Van Litt transferred to TCU. She said,
"Did you see that? I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
She saw what Caitlin Clark did to her. And she's like, well, I don't want to be in the backcourt with her. This lady gets torched."
So Haley Cavender will join Hannah Cavender. The Cavender twins are back for another season at the University of Miami. Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law
Firm leads me to believe that they did not get along with Katie Meyer.
It has nothing to do with Katie Meyer.
That's what I think.
It has to do with them wanting to wrestle and figuring out they can't do it. And I'm going to be an influencer. And like I told y'all, I don't know what they're going to influence. And now they're trying to go the normal route. That's what happened with the Cavender
twins. I don't doubt that. I'm with you. They looked at they watch what Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. There's legit juice right now when it comes to women's sports. And they probably compare and contrast that with their influencing business. And they go, you know what? We have a better track if we go back and play another season at UM and try to recapture that lightning in a bottle.
And Caitlin Clark is one of the best basketball players I've ever watched play the game.
I'm just saying the interest level in women's sports.
And they're not – no one outside of us talk about the Cavender twins.
No, I'm just saying that there's more eyeballs on women's sports because of the women's basketball season and the tournament this year than ever before. So you might have more fans watching collegiate hoops when it comes to women. And if they go to the Final Four, where they go, the Elite Eight or Final Four?
Elite Eight.
Yeah. I mean, they do that again. You have a lot of eyeballs. They're not professionals, but they'll have more eyeballs to do their influencing career. But I still believe this has to do with Katie Meyer not being.
Why do you keep getting on Katie?
I'm not getting on Katie.
Leave Katie alone.
I'm on Team Katie.
You're saying that they're there. What's wrong? Katie, you can't be mad at Katie.
Who's mad at Katie?
You said the Cavender twins were mad at Katie.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they liked her.
They both liked them.
After an Elite Eight season, they both left the University of Miami. One said, I'm not even going to play basketball anymore. The other one said, I'm going to go play somewhere else. After an Elite Eight season.
Neither of them played, by the way. Neither of them played last year, Hawk.
Because and then all of a sudden, Katie Meyer retires. A week or two later, both Cavender twins amazingly show up on the Coral Gables campus.
They thought the grass was greener on the other side.
But why not go play at TCU then? Thing.
Because they really don't want them.
That's not true.
So Hannah is getting recruited by a lot of other teams.
No, but Haley. Haley was all ACC. Haley's a good basketball player.
And she's coming back to play with her sister.
I know, because Katie Meyer's not there.
It's not anything about Katie Meyer.
I mean, it's right in front of you. Yeah. It's literally right in front of you.
No, what am I saying
that's not true? After an Elite Eight run, the Cavender twins both either give up basketball or transfer to a different school.
Yep.
Katie Meyer, tell me what I'm saying is false. They thought their influencer wrestling was going to work out, and it didn't. Katie Meyer resigns from UM a year later. Both Cavender twins, who had said farewell to the University of Miami, show up a couple weeks later and say, we're back.
Facts.
What part of that is false?
They have the connection with UM.
Which part of that is false? You can't hear me?
I can hear you, but the connection with UM is there.
But they had a connection to UM last year.
But they thought they were going to be wrestlers.
Regardless, they still had that connection last year.
And they didn't play.
Crowder,
I know, they left.
Crowder, did you just lose one of your teeth?
Thanks, Will.
I am 95% sure that I saw one of Crowder's teeth fly out of his mouth and... I saw him notice it, and he was licking his tooth at the very end of that.
What just happened?
I am 100% sure now.
This is over an argument right after the Heat just lost their first play-in game. This is an argument about University of Miami women's basketball with the Cavender twins returning. He lost a tooth?
I think Crowder's tooth flew out of his mouth in the middle of that debate. One of his new teeth, too.
This guy thinks he could stand up in a fight against Drake. His teeth are jumping right out of his mouth. Nobody even said anything.
Got him back now.
What happened, Abuelo?
I don't know. His tooth flew out.
Granddad, tell us the story again about how your teeth fall out.
Bro, you ran me hot.
He tried to grab it, too. I'm pretty sure he tried. I need the video replay. He tried to grab it in the middle of the air.
Look, this guy's in a rap beef with Drake, but his teeth are falling out. He's the Brundle fly.
Yeah, this ain't going too well for me.
All right, we got to take a break. Is there anything else, Solana? That's funny.
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Bro, I saw it was either like a piece of corn from earlier in the day or one of your choppers flew right out of your mouth.
Did you catch it, though? You caught it?
No, it was sitting on the printer.
Oh, but that can't be good.
Oh, this isn't good at all. I'm making a call as soon as we go to break. I have to.
Because you can't just pop the tooth back in. I mean, I know you did, but that's like you can't eat a piece of corn now.
Oh, yeah, it ain't got a chance. This thing going to fall out 8 times a day now.
Huh.
It's wiggly.
The Mesman and Dover Law Firm.
Second incisor.
What do you have? Your adults are coming in?
Your adults.
You have any other wiggly teeth? You need Drake to put a string around your tooth?
And slam okay. The door? Okay. Drake comes over here and wraps my tooth in anything. It's over for him.
866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com, partly cloudy, who cares? Crowder lost a teeth in the middle of a debate. That's
Crowder lost a teeth.
Guy's telling you can't play with a torn MCL. Guy can't get through a segment without losing a tooth.
I'm the Brundle Fly. It's over for me.
All right, Clay Ferrero is going to join us next.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, no.
Hawk and Crowder.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I know Clay Ferrero was not pleased last night at many moments during the Heat game. Clay's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms, Toyota of Hollywood, on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. You see Clay on Local 10 here in Miami. Clay, Nicholas Batum, your thoughts?
Foul.
You're talking on the Tyler backcourt? Are you obsessed over that non-call?
Obsessed may be a bit strong, but I do think we got to stop doing this thing where we say, oh, well, that one call didn't decide the game. Hold on. There's less than a minute to go. It is a very clear shove in the back. I mean, extremely obvious. And it's not just a shove in the back. It is one that directly leads to a violation. I don't care, like, how the game had been called up to that point. That's an obvious foul. Tyler Hero is going to the free throw line. It always bugs me. I'm sure this whole thing was, you know, remember back when Michael Jordan hit the shot on Craig Elo, and I'm sure you had a lot of people saying, oh, well, you know, that one shot wasn't the reason that Cleveland lost the game. They had other chances. No, Michael Jordan misses that shot. Cleveland wins the game. If that call is made, Tyler Hero is going to the free throw line with less than a minute to go. And the way the timing shapes up, Philly can't go 2-for-1 at that point. It was a big bad call in a bad situation. And I'm sorry. I think we got to be intellectually honest about just how much it impacted the game.
But Clay, with the Batum thing, it wasn't just that call. Like, he was roasting us. Shouldn't we have done something? Like, can we put somebody on Batum when you see he's hot?
Well, sure. And I think, look, all of these things can be true, that there were some things that happened that led up to that point that he could have done differently. And yet I think we know that the way these games go, it's going to come down to the final minute, especially when the Miami Heat are involved. And to allow that play to change so much of how that final minute would have unfolded, not to mention that, you know, then Philly goes down and Kelly Oubre gets an and one on a play where I still didn't see a foul there. So it kind of bugs me where, you know, we kind of like look at the rest of the game and say, yes, absolutely, Nick Batum, they should have found an answer earlier. And yet I think if you had gone into that saying, you know, Joel Embiid was going to be held to what, 6 of 17. And you were going to be able to slow down Maxey a bit. Yeah. Batum and Tobias Harris.
I never know whether it's my connection or if it's the phone connection. Your phone crapped out there for a second, Clay.
Okay, well, are we back?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Anyway, point being, like, all of those things can be true, and yet at the same time, that game was winnable, and had things fallen differently with a minute to go, would have loved to see how it would have ended.
But Clay, one of the bigger issues all season, despite injuries, which ended up impacting the game as well for the Miami Heat, was it not late game execution? I'm with you. That was a foul. I wasn't as outraged as a lot of people, and clearly you are, because the Miami Heat had a 3-point lead. They turned the ball over. Jaime gets called for a rip through that he should have never had his hand over Joel Embiid. And then even after that, you know, to not be able to have that exchange be clean for Tyler Hero, and then to come out of the timeout with that play call where Tyler just forces up a three, like, you had time to find a better shot than that. You know, all the things that bogged down the Heat this season popped up at the very end of that game. Once again, their inefficiency to score and find quality shots in the biggest moments of games.
Well, I understand, and yet at the same time, how much differently do all of those things look if Tyler goes to the line, hits one or two? You don't know what Philly's going to do on the other end, but you do look at the time, and you say the Heat absolutely would have had an opportunity to choose to go 2-for-1 if they had had that, if they had chosen to do so. And so I think you have to, like, look at it and say, yes, all of those things are issues, and yet you're playing against a team in Philly that I think maybe the second best team in the East right now behind Boston. I don't see Milwaukee. They just seem to be a mess. Giannis is hurt. And then you look at New York, and, you know, if Julius Randle isn't coming back, I don't know that that team's better than Philly either. We'll get to find out in that playoff series. So at some point you have to say, hey, look, that's a really good team that they're going against. And you have to make plays, but making a play, shooting free throws in that situation because you get shoved in the back, that's making a play. And so it did bother me. Yes, there were certainly things that they could have done better, and yet I'm sure Philly would say there were some things that they could have done better. The bottom line is that play should have been called, and the final 55 seconds should have played out a lot differently.
Now we have to focus on tomorrow night. This is what Ira Winderman tweeted out. Should the Heat be without Jimmy Butler? And Duncan didn't play last night. Terry Rozier, Ira says there is still a pathway versus the Bulls. This is what he suggests. Hero must be at least equal of Kobe White. Jaime Jaquez Jr. has to be competitive with DeRozan. Adebayo has to outplay Vucevic. Kevin Love has to compete with Andre Drummond on the boards. And Caleb Martin has to be his playoff best. I don't even know if all those things have to happen. I'm not a huge believer in the Bulls, Clay. So even without Jimmy, could you see them winning tomorrow night at the Kaseya Center?
Well, absolutely. And I actually said before this started, I don't know if I said it on air or if it was just to, you know, amongst ourselves, but I the Bulls matchup is tough to me, like for what DeRozan brings. But I think a big part of that is Alex Caruso. Alex Caruso is a guy who brings so much defensively, and on a team that doesn't, I think they're ninth worst in defensive rating this season. Losing Caruso, when it looks like in all likelihood he's going to be out tomorrow night, that's enormous. So, I mean, I get all of that. I just think basketball is a game where you can't just say, oh, X, Y, Z has to happen in order for this team to win. And I think the bigger issue with this team right now, we're talking about the Miami Heat, and look, I'm by no means does what happened in the last minute last night absolve a bunch of the other stuff that happened this year. Like, you don't lose at home to Memphis. You don't fail to show up for the first half of a game at Indiana. But I think that this is a team that absolutely can win this game tomorrow night. The concern I have is, okay, what's the end game here? And if Duncan Robinson were anywhere near close to right, he would have played last night. That this was not Spo choosing to sit him. I mean, he's hurt. And Terry Rozier being out hurts a lot. So it's like, at some point, especially with Jimmy out, the available options start to diminish. And, yeah, I think you can find a way to beat Chicago, a team that doesn't play very good defense, without Jimmy Butler and without those guys. But then what happens on the back end of that? Now, I know nobody wants to talk about that right now, and maybe we get a miraculous update here in the next hour after Jimmy has the MRI. But, you know, it's just where are the answers going to come from moving forward?
And Clay, speaking of Jimmy's injury, was he in the game too long? Because we talked about it earlier, where you saw late in that fourth quarter he wasn't a part of the offense in that last couple series, the inbound, like, he wasn't a piece. Your best player wasn't a piece of that play, wasn't a big cog in that play. Should they have put somebody in that was healthy? Because obviously Jimmy wasn't healthy.
It's a good question, and I don't honestly know the answer to that, because I don't know who else you could have put in there that. You know, when you consider, okay, go back to that play where Jimmy had the rip and dunk, the pick six in the second half, when he clearly wasn't right. There are certain things that Jimmy does just by his presence on the floor, the basketball IQ, that even when he's hurt, I think he can impact the game. And so you're looking down the line, you're like, well, okay, well, who would have played yet? I mean, is it Caleb Martin? Is it, you know, who are you looking at that you would have put in the game at that point that would have moved the needle enough to justify taking him out? Because it wasn't Duncan Robinson. I mean, Duncan clearly was not right. So, sure, you could look at it and say, you know, maybe him being ineffective was a reason why to put somebody else out there. But then you also have to answer from the back end of that. Who is it? And would that player have moved the needle enough to make up for losing Jimmy both as a decoy and also for his basketball IQ with getting other guys into position and also potentially jumping into passing lanes?
Should we bother even discussing if they were to win tomorrow night a seven-game series against Boston?
It's so hard because, if Duncan Robinson were healthy, if Terry Rozier were healthy, then you could say, hey, maybe this is something where you go into Boston, you steal one, then the demons from last year start to bite it at Boston a little bit. And this team kind of plays with that classic chip on their shoulder, and something might happen. I just think we're kind of getting to the point where when it's not just Jimmy, when it's also Duncan Robinson, when, you know, this is where losing Max Strus and Gabe Vincent come back.
You're back. Go ahead.
It just starts to feel like it's too much to overcome at that point.
But, Clay, as it pertains to the Boston Celtics, Embiid isn't 100%. Jimmy Butler looks like he's going to miss the series if the Heat get to that series. Julius Randle for the Knicks is out. And Giannis Antetokounmpo, we don't know what his status is. This is setting up to be the biggest letdown in the history of the Boston Celtics, which is saying a lot, which I happen to be very excited for because I don't trust that team to do anything.
This worked out well. This worked out well.
Right. I mean, because the path, the Boston media, which is everybody outside of South Florida, And the Boston fan base, I mean, they're talking about this regular season like they've already won the NBA title. And with the records the Celtics broke, I mean, if they don't get out of the East, it would be the biggest letdown, I think, in Boston sports history. And I'm very, very looking forward to that happening.
So what's the bar? Like, is it making the finals? Do they have to win the NBA championship? Like, where?
No, they got
to
win it.
They have to.
They got
to
win it.
They got to win the championship.
Yeah, they're the best team in the regular season, and all they do is talk about Jimmy Butler's 0-2 record in the NBA finals. Hey, guess what? You're one finals loss away from Tatum and Brown being 0-2 in the NBA finals, you bums.
I love that, like, the level of copium is now, okay, let's just see where Boston loses, and then we're going to be able to celebrate at that point. But now, here's my thing. I still look over at the West, and I see Nikola Jokic standing there just, like, with his shoulders slumped, bored. He's like, all right, I guess it's time for me to drop 40 and 20 on these fools in the NBA Finals. And they're going to win again. Denver is going to win again unless Jokic gets hurt or Jamal Murray gets hurt, and then something else is going to happen with somebody else. But I just feel like the West is – you have three teams at the top of the West that if they play Boston, I think I could see them winning. And yet Denver, if they stay healthy, I don't think anybody's beating them anyway. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't either. Clay Ferreiro, Local 10. He will forever be haunted by Nicholas Batum and the non-call at half court. Thanks, Clay.
Bye, guys.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
Coming up next on the Hock and Crowder Show.
You know, I like big butts, and I cannot lie.
Hock and Crowder.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.